Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Mem Hei, and we will begin on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, 21 lines from the bottom. We had learned in the previous shiur in the Mishnah that the Mishnah taught us that every day when the avodah of the Ketores was done, there was a machlokes what kind of shovel was used. And the Mishnah said that one man said that a shovel had four kav in it, and then they poured it over to another shovel and it was down to three kavim. Another man said it began with a saw, which is six kav, and was reduced to three kav. But in Yom Kippur, the Mishnah taught us the same shovel was used. The shovel they took the coals off was three kav, and that was the shovel with which they used to go into the Beis Hamikdash to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Explains the Gemara. B'chol yoyim b'shal arbas kavim. Tana, as we learned in the Mishnah, the spazuloi kav kecholim, a kav of coals were scattered, because as we just explained, we started with four kav, and it was reduced to three kav. Mechablam la'am. And they were clear to go into the canal that was in the Beis Hamikdash, in the Azara. That's where an extra kav went. The Mefarshim asked that how could this kav of coals be sent to the Amma, to the canal, once they were in the shovel, they became kodesh, because it's a klisharis, and a klisharis is mekadesh, whatever enters it. So how could one send it to waste? So the answers given are that klisharis ain't a mekadesh elo ladas. Only time something entering a klisharis becomes kadosh is if there's a specific intent that it become kadosh. Here, they intended that that extra kav should indeed not become kadosh, and therefore it may be sent to the Amma. Another answer given is that, as we explained, during the year, which is what our Gemara is focusing on, they shoveled it off the coals from the Mizbeach with a silver shovel and then only transferred it to the gold shovel. That silver shovel is not a klisharis, and therefore the coals that enter that silver shovel are not considered kodesh. Another question the Mefarshim ask is that the halach is one may not extinguish the coals from the Mizbeach, and certainly not on Shabbos. So how could these coals be swept into the canal which will extinguish the coals? So one teretz given is that they waited until the coals died out, the fire died out, before they swept them into the canal, so there is no malach of kivui, of extinguishing. Another teretz given is that the canal which our Gemara is referring to is not the normal canal that we find throughout Shas, which was a body of water which would extinguish the coals. Rather, the canal referred to here is a canal that just was like an area where they swept the coals into, but not with any water that would extinguish the coals. There's a very nice vort apidrush from our Gemara. Many times in Shas we find that the Gemara uses the statement Mishnosoi Sher Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the teachings of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov are kav v'noki, and that's why the Gemara says we usually follow the shita, the psak of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So usually definition, the way we explain in yeshiva, kav v'noki means kav. There are not many teachings by given or found in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Vinoki, whatever we find from Elazar ben Yaakov is clean, it's pure, and should be accepted. But I saw a pshat based on our Gemara. When a Rebbe teaches Talmidim, there is a challenge he faces. In that time, he could have learned himself and maybe learned new things that he's not able to do. In the time that he's teaching and learning with Talmidim. Says the Gemara, Mishnosai Sher Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the teachings of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who was a Rebbe, who was a teacher of Talmidim in Klal Yisrael, was like a Kav, was like the Kav of our Gemara, where the amount of coals removed from the Mizbeach were reduced by a Kav. So too, one would say that the teaching of a Rebbe is Kav, is reduced by the time that he has to spend in preparing and learning with Talmidim. However, it tells us the Gemara of Enochi, on the contrary, because the Rebbe is prepared to lose, so to speak, from his learning, to take that Kav away from his learning, Enochi, that makes what he does learn so much purer, so much better, and that's why the Halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, like the Rebbe who gives up the time to learn with his Talmidim. Tani Chodos, so the Gemara continues, we learned the one Braisa, there was a Kav of coals that was scattered in the transferring from one shovel to another. V'tani Idach Kabayim. Another Braisa says that two Kav were lost. Explains the Gemara. Bishlam Ahachta Tani Kav. The Braisa that says that a Kav was scattered is going according to Rabbanim, because Rabbanim said in our Mishnah, we started with a 4-Kav shovel and transferred to a 3-Kav shovel. Ela Ahachta Tani Kabayim. But the Braisa that says that two Kav were lost, Mani, according to whom does it come out? Loi Rabbanon, Veloi Rabbi Yossi, doesn't seem to be like Rabbanon, who say we start with 4 and with 3, and not like Rabbi Yossi, who says we start with 6 and end with 3. Amrav Chizda, so Rav Chizda answers, who is this Tana? Rabbi Shmuel ben Noish, Rabbi Yossi, and Broikihi. Tanya, Rishma Benoish, Rabbi Yochim Breika Omer, Bashal Gabayim Hayamachnis. We started with a 4-Kav shovel, transferred to a 2-Kav shovel, which was the shovel that was used to enter the base of Migdash, so we actually have 2-Kav scattered. Rav Ashi gives a different answer. Afilotem Rabbi Yossi. We could say that the Braisa that says that 2-Kav were lost is going according to Rabbi Yossi. Vach Kamer. And this is the way to understand. The coals were taken off the Mizbeach with a shovel measuring a midbar saw. A midbar saw is only 5 Kav Yerushalayim, because the saw, the measurements were changed when Klal Yisrael arrived in Yerushalayim. A fifth was added to all measures. Thus, 6 saw kabim are now 5 Yerushalayim kabim. So, Rabbi Yossi spoke about a saw, he referred to a midbar saw. And when he spoke about the 3 kav, he spoke about the 3 Yerushalayim kav. So that's why 2 Yerushalayim kav were scattered when we transferred the coals from one shovel to another shovel. Because in Ma'ara, we put into Lutoch Shloi Kav Yerushalayim. We start with 5 Yerushalayim Kav. We ended with 3 Yerushalayim Kav, which is a reduction of 2 Kav. The Mefarshim ask, if that's the case, why doesn't Rabbi Yossi speak about Kav throughout and say 5 Kav was what we started with and 3 Kav is what we ended with? So he explains, the Mefarshim explain, the Gvur Sari explains this, that since saw is a very common measure that was used throughout Shas, Rabbi Yossi wanted to try to use that word whenever possible. Continue the Mishnah teaching us, B'chol Yom HaSukveda, every day the shovel was heavy, V'yom Kalim, today was light. Tana explains the Braisa, B'chol Yom HaSugilda Ava, every day the sides were made out of thick metal, V'yom Rach, and today was made out of thin metal on Yom Kippur, so it should be lighter for the Kohen Gadol to carry. Similarly, we learned in the Mishnah, B'chol Yom HaSukzara, every day the handle of the shovel was short, V'yom Aruchan, today was long. My Tama, what's the reason? Explains the Gemara Kadesh Shirei, Zroi Shal Kohen Gadol Masei Osai, that in order that the Kohen Gadol should be able to use his arm in carrying the shovel, if it had a long handle, he was able to keep part of the handle under his arm, and it'll be easier for him to carry. Tana, furthermore, we learned in the Braisa, B'chol Yom Loi HaYoloi Nishtek, every day it did not have a nishtik, v'yom ha'yoloi nishtik, and today it had a nishtik, divrei ben Sagan. There are many pshatim in explaining what a nishtik is. Rashi explains that it had a ring attached to the top of the handle, which would shake and make noise as the Kohen Gadol entered the Beis HaMikdash. Because the reason being, because the halacha is, it says in the Torah, V'nishma koiloi bevoya al kodesh. The Kohen Gadol, it should be heard as the Kohen Gadol enters the Beis HaMikdash. So normally that was accomplished by the Kohen Gadol wearing the me'il, which had bells on the bottom of it, which would make music, would make a sound as the Kohen Gadol entered the Beis HaMikdash. However, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol did not wear the me'il. It's one of the big days off. So the Nishma Koyla B'Voyal HaKodesh was accomplished through his carrying a shovel that had this ring around it to make the noise. The Meiri explains that it, as we learned in the Mishnah, the shovel with coals were left for a while on the floor of the Azara, on the Roivet HaRevi, and the bottom of a shovel is not straight, so the Nishtik is like a base in which they put the shovel in order that the shovel should not tip over. Another pshat that Ritva gives is that, again, since these coals on the shovel were left laying in the Azara, we were concerned that during that time they would become extinguished, so a cover was put on top of that coal. Along the same lines, other Rishonim explain that the cover was put on top of the shovel, so that when the Kohen was carrying the shovel with the coals into the Beis HaMikdash, the smoke from the coals should not go into his face. However, Tosfos says another pshat. Tosfos explains that, as we just said, the shovel was left laying on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, and we know that if you leave a metal item with something hot on it, the heat will conduct and the whole item will become hot. So given that this shovel with the coals were left lying on the floor of the Azara, the handle of the Azara became the handle of the shovel became hot. So in order to protect the Kohen Gadol from not getting burnt from the heat of the handle of the shovel, a leather sleeve was put around the handle. And Tosfos says, however, there's a concern that that leather sleeve should not be a chatzitza, should not be something separating between the Kohen's hand and the shovel. So therefore Tosfos says that the handle, this leather, was knocked in with nails, mesmeiros, was stapled onto the handle, so it should be considered one item. And actually, that concept that Tosfos teaches us is relevant la'aloch l'maisim. The Masham uses it both for a kula and a chumrah. He says the aloch is that when one goes to the mikveh, he's not allowed to have any chatzitza on his body. So what is if someone goes to the mikveh, a woman has to go to the mikveh, and she has fillings in her teeth? So why aren't those fillings considered chatzitza? They're not part of her body. The answer is because the fillings are permanently attached to the teeth, hopefully, and therefore they become part with the tooth and are not considered chatzitza. But on the other hand, he says, based on this concept of chumrah, the halacha is that if part of a pat becomes non-kosher, that means, let's say we'll have a fleishige pat fall into a milchige pat, but only part of the pat will fall in. We don't say that when we measure shishim, is there 60 times more than the fleishigs, than the meat in the dairy pat, that we only look at the part that fell in. Since we say chamuk tzos or chamuk kulay, we look at the entire pat that fell in, even the part that didn't actually touch the milchigs, that didn't actually enter the milchigs. What would be the halacha if we'll have a pat made out of two parts, and one part, the bottom part and the top part, but they're attached, and only the bottom part fell in? Says the Marsham, based on this concept, that items that are permanently attached are considered one. So we're not going to say that the part that fell in, given that it's a separate part from the other part, are considered two items. Rather, they're going to be considered one item, and we will need shishim against the against both parts, against the entire pot. However, says the Shail Sechuvis Torah Lishma, that this concept is not always used. He explains that if the item that's used as a cover is something choshev, that does not become bottle, does not become secondary to the item that it's used to be a cover for, it will not, even if it's attached, it will still be considered separate. That's why he explains that our Tosfos says that the cover was, that the handle was covered with a leather sleeve. So the leather sleeve becomes bottle to the gold handle. But something choshev does not necessarily become bottle to the first item. We explained in the Mishnah, b'chol yom ha'yuzov yorek, every day they used yellow gold, on Yom Kippur they used the zav perhaven. Amrav chizda, shivas ahavim hein, there are seven types of gold. Zav, regular gold, zav toiv, good gold, zav ofir, is gold from ofir, zav mupaz, we'll explain soon, zav shochet, zav sogur, zav perhaven. Zav, zav toiv, how do we know there's these two types of gold, good gold and regular gold, as it says in the Pasuk. V'zav ha'aretz ahi, Pasuk and Parshas Bereishis, toiv. So you have gold and you have good gold. Zav ofir, what is zav ofir? The osimi ofir. It comes from ofir. Zav mupaz, shedoy mulapaz. It looks like a pearl. Toiv says it comes from the place called mupaz. Zav shochut, it's very soft and it can be spun like a thread, and that's why the Ben Yehoyada explains different metals like copper were added to it to give it some body. Zav sagar, closed gold, because v'shar shaniftach, when a store selling this gold opens up, kolach new scores, all other scores selling gold close, because this gold is so far superior versus all other golds that nobody's going to buy any other gold. Zah parvim, shadoim ladama parim, because its blood looks like the blood of the parim. There's a machloikis, the batanur in the Tosfos Yontif, why zah parvim was used in Yom Kippur. The Rabbeinu batanur explains because it was a higher quality gold, and that's why in Yom Kippur we wanted to use a higher quality gold. Batanur, the Tosfos Yontif explains because it looked like the blood of the bulls that were slaughtered, so we want to have the blood look the same. Ravashi, Amar Ravashi says, Chamisha hein, there are really five types of gold. However, in each type of gold, kol chad v'chad is be'zav zav toiv. In every type of gold, there are two quality golds. There's the regular gold and the good gold of that type of gold. Tani nami hochi, to explain the zav pahavim, b'chol yom ha'yuzav v'yorek, every day they used yellow gold, v'yom edam and yom kippur they used red gold, v'hayinu zav parvavim shedoyim l'dam ha'parim, that's what it means, the zav pahavim, because it looks like the blood of the bulls that were slaughtered on Yom Kippur. B'chol yom makriv pras b'shachris, as we explained, every morning they brought a pras of k'taris in the morning and a pras in the afternoon. Every day it was fine. Vayoyim daka menadaka. Tan rabbanan daka. The Torah says that the k'tiris has to be daka. Matam loymer. Why does the Torah have to say it? For like for nemar, the Torah already when describing the k'tiris that's used all year round says v'shachaktu mimena hadek, we should grind it finely. So why does the Torah again have to say that the Yom Kippur Ketores should be fine? Elohavi, daka menadaka, that it should be super fine. So the Sfas Emma says, perhaps the reason the Torah tells us that the Yom Kippur Ketores should be daka, the reason the Torah repeats it is because we have a halacha, that Shina Kosov Lakif, wherever the Torah repeats a din, the reason the Torah is repeating it is to tell us the essential. So I'll say that the reason the Torah repeated the din of daka is not because it has to be daka and a daka, but rather to teach us that it must be fine, and if it's not, it's not acceptable. Says the Sfas Emes, if the entire point was just to teach us that it should be fine, that that's essential, I know everything in Yom Kippur, every avodah in Yom Kippur has to be essential. Because as we said so many times, the Torah uses the word chukah. regarding the avoid of Yom Kippur. So that can't be the reason why the Torah repeated Daka to tell us that it's essential. What must be the reason? To stay, Daka and Daka should be superfine. The Brisk Rav says that the explanation of Daka Daka is not that it's a concept in the Heftza of the Ktoiris, that for Ktoiris to be acceptable, it has to be superfine. It's a din that the Torah wants the person to grind and regrind the Ktoiris to be used on Yom Kippur. But the Eglei Tal points out, when was this regrounding done? Says that it was done on Erev Yom Kippur. And he explains why. He says the halacha should be, we know the halacha is that grinding something that was already ground is Osir Midrabanan only. So he asks, if the Ktoiris was already ground from before Yom Kippur, and now we're regrinding it, so it's only in Issur D'Rabbanan. And Ein Shvus B'Migdash, we know that there are no Issurei D'Rabbanan in the base of Migdash, so it should be permitted to regrind it even on Yom Kippur. So he explains. The reason one is Midaraisa allowed to regrind something is because you're not really accomplishing anything, because it's already ground. Meleches machsheves asur taira, and this is not considered a melacha that's asur on Shabbos. However, explains the Eglei Tal, here where the Torah specifically told us that we want you to regrind the Ktoiris, and especially as the Brisk Rav just told us, that that's a specific melacha that the Torah wants the person to do, regrind the Ktoiris. So we're doing what the Torah wants. So it's certainly a malacha d'araisa, which is asur even in the base of Migdash on Yom Kippur. But the Migdash David points out that this requirement of daka min adaka is only on the Torah that was brought in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But as we've been learning, on Yom Kippur, the regular Ktoiris was also brought, Pras B'Shachas or Pras Ben Abayim. That Ktoiris did not have the requirement of daka min adaka. We learned b'chol yom kahanim oilim b'mizrachas hakeves. Every day the kahanim walked, when they went up to the mizbeach, they walked to the east side of the ramp. Why? Damamar kapinash at the pina. Whenever somebody makes a turn, layei ela derech yimil mizrach. It should always be to the right side, to the east. So that's why if they were going up to the mizbeach and they were going to make a right turn, so they should be on the east side of the ramp. That's why they always walked up on the east side. And in fact, that's the halacha, that a person should always be careful to make a right turn. The Chasam Sofer says when building a shul, people that one enters the shul from a foyer, one should be careful that the door should, that the turn that somebody should have to make to enter the door should be a right turn. However, the Chasam Sofer says sometimes one is faced with a dilemma. There's halacha that a person, eim avir mal mitzvahs, should not walk by a place where he can do a mitzvah. So now if he has a choice, he can make a right turn, or he should walk to a place to do a mitzvah. Which way should he go? So Chasam Sofer says he should make the right turn. But then there's another shaila. We know that halacha is that one goes up, if he, for example, receives an aliyah and goes to the bima. So let's say from his seat, he has two different ways to go. One will involve going to the right, which as we've been explaining is so important, but one will involve going the shortest way, which is also the halacha, that when one goes up to an aliyah, he should go the shortest way. What should he do? It's an interesting machlokes. The Chasam Sofer seems to still feel he should go to the right. Other poskim say that derech tzara takes precedence, and I guess someone should try to have a seat where you shouldn't have that dilemma. Continues the Mishnah. Hayoin, on Yom Kippur, Oyla Bamtsa, the Kohen Gadol, goes up walking in the middle of the ramp, the Yorid Bamtsa, and when he goes down, he walks down the middle. My Tama, what's the reason? Explains the Gemara Mishuk Fayda, the Kohen Gadol, to show the great honor we give the Kohen Gadol that he walks up in the middle, like he's a ben bayis, like he's a member of the family of Hashem. In fact, the Rashba uses this concept that the Gemara just told us, lahaloch lemaisa. He says, what is the din in the tshuvas What is the din if someone enters a shul? And in a shul, a beis haKnesses, a beis haMedrash, is the place of Hashem. He has to show respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But in the shul, he has his parents or his Rebbe, that he has a chiv of Kibbut Ave'im. He has a chiv of Kavod Rabbi. May he show Kibbut Ave'im, Kavod Rav, into the beis, in the beis haKnesses? Is that considered diminishing showing Kavod HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is it not considered that? Says the Rajva, from our Gemara, we see that one can show respect to his parents or to someone who he has to respect, even in the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash. Because here we're seeing that Kavod was shown to the Kohen Gadol on the Mizbeach, in the Azara of the Beis HaMikdash, which is certainly the Makom HaShechina. So we see that when respect is due to a person, it may be given even in the Makom of Hashem. The Mishnah continue teaching us, usually when Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is done, it's done from the Kiyar. And today it was done from a gold basin. My Tama, Mishim Kvayda Shekoyin Gadol, for respect for the Kohen Gadol. There's a Machloikis, Rambam and Ramban. The Ramban says that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim does not have to be done from a kir. Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim can be done from any body of water, from any vessel. And his proof is our Mishnah. The Rambam disagrees, and the Rambam holds that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim should be done l'chatchila from the kir. So the Mefarshim ask, according to the Rambam, that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim should be done from a kir l'chatchila, so how could the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim on Yom Kippur for the Kohen Gadol be done from the Kitoin Shazov? So the Chasam Sofer answers that when does the Rambam require that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim be done from a kir? That's only in a situation where the Kohen Gadol, where the Kohen is not going to the mikvah. So there, he should do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim from a kir. However, in our case, the Kohen Gadol went to the mikvah. So there, even the Rambam will agree that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim does not have to be done from a kir. The Pri Chodesh, however, quotes a Yerushalmi, which the Yerushalmi teaches us that even our Mishnah, which teaches us that the Kohen Gadol did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim from a gold basin, that didn't include the first Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim that the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur. The first Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim was done from the kir, because since, as the Rambam teaches us, Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim l'chatchila should be done from the kir, so the first Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim he did on Yom Kippur, he did at from the kir, and then the other Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim he did from the gold basin. So we learned in the Mishnah, B'chol Yoyim Hayisham Abra Merachos. We spoke about how many different places of fire there was on the Mizbeach all year round and on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara expounds on the Machloikas we learned in the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan. B'chol Yoyim Hayishtayim Merachos. Every day of the year there were two Merachos, Vayoyim Sholosh. And today there were three. Achas Merach Gedoyla, one was the main place where all the Kabbanas were burnt. V'achas Merach Shni Shaktairus, and the other one was where they took the coals for the Ktairus. So Mois Rishonim explained that the coals that were used for the Ktairus that were brought all year came from that Merach. That's how Rashi explains. Interesting, the Rambam says that they did not necessarily use those coals for the Ktairus. Rather, the Rambam explains that that was for the cover of the Mizbeach, that they should have an extra place for the fire. V'achas, and on Yom Kippur, Shemesifim by Beyoim, they added another place for Yom Kippur. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that's Rabbi Yehuda's version of what the Mizbeach looked like. Rabbi Yosef, B'chol Yom Sholosh, every day there were three Marachas, V'yoim Arba, on Yom Kippur, there were four. Achas Merach Gedoyla, the first one was the Merach Gedoyla we just spoke about. Achas Merach Shnei Shoktaris that we just spoke about. The Achas Shakim Eish, and the third one was to keep the fire on the Mizbeach. The Achas Mesifim by Biyoyim, and one that they added for Yom Kippur. So there's a Machloikus Rishonim. What does it mean what Acha Shalkiyim Shalesh. Rashi explains that it was, and that's how Tosfos explains, that it was used that in case the fire of the Merachah Gedoyla would start to go down, they would take that fire from the Merachah of Kiyum Eish to use to supplement that fire. And in fact, the Mizrahi along those lines says that we have learned that the Kohanim put on the morning, we learned earlier in our Masech that the Kohanim put on the Mizbeach in the morning and the afternoon Shnei Gzirei Eitzim. He says that the Shnei Gzirei Eitzim were actually the Marocha of the Kimesh. However, the Rambam, similar to what the previous Rambam that we spoke about, says that this wasn't the Marocha that was used to supplement and to add in case the Marocha Gedoyla went down to get the fire from it. It was done L'Kovid. And really, the Mefarshim explained that the Rambam here is similar to Shita in the previous case. Just like the Rambam said in Rabbi Yehuda that the Merachah Shnei Shel Ketores was more of an issue of Kovid, he's going to say in Rabbi Yossi too that the reason he had this third Merachah was an issue of Kovid. Continues the Gemara, Ramei Oimer, B'chol Yoyim Arba, every day there were four Merachahs, V'yoyim Chamesh, according to him, on Yom Kippur there were five. Achas Merachah Gedoyla, as we explained. Achas Merachah Shnei Shel Ketores, as we explained. Achas Shekim Eish, that we just discussed in Rabbi Yossi Shita. And according to him, the fourth one was Levarim B'darim Shlein Nisachlu B'ma'arif, the limbs, in fact, that were not burned by night, had their own Merachah. V'achas Shemesifim B'yoyim, and the other one that they added for Yom Kippur. So, the Mefarshim explain that what is the basis for a Meir having a separate Marocha for Evarim B'darim. So the Ramban explains that since, according to Rameya, we learned earlier in the Masechta, there was a special good Goyrel done for the people who have, for the Kohanim who have the privilege to burn the Evarim U'B'darim Shloines Achlu. So we see that according to Rameya, it's a very significant object, Devarim B'darim Shloines Achlu, and that's why Rameya held that they had their own Marocha. The Meiri explains that according to Rameya, they did not want to mix the Evarim B'darim from different days' Kabbonos, and that's why it had its own Marocha. Tosfos asks that, especially according to Rameya, that says that there were so many Marochas, he says, how is there room for all of these Marochas? He asks that the Mizbeach that Moshe built was entirely, the surface was entirely only an Amma by an Amma. So how did they have room for all these Marochas? So Tosfos answers that not all of the Marochas were built on the surface, on the top of the Mizbeach. Rather, some of them were built around the perimeter of Mizbeach, the place where the Kohanim used to walk, the Mokum Hiluch Ragli Kohanim. That's where other Marochas were made. So there should be enough room. The Sfas Emes explains that the additional Marochas were only brought to the Mizbeach after the Marocha Gedoyla was diminished, was somewhat burnt, and then there was room for the other Marochas. Another explanation he gives is that when we say that a Marocha should be an Amma, it doesn't mean that a Marocha should be an Amma at a minimum. It means that a Marocha should be an Amma at a maximum. So since a Marocha should only be an Amma by a maximum, they were really smaller, and therefore there was room for many Marochas on the Mizbeach. The Kula Amma, everybody agrees, Mi is Tata Islu. There were at least two Marochas. Menolan, from where do we know this? Answers the Gemara, Amakra. The Pasuk says, Hu Oila al Moita al Mizbeach Kala Laila. Zu Marocha Gdoyla. That refers to Marocha Gdoyla. And the Pasuk also says, Veish Mizbeach Tukaba, Zu Marocha Shnei Shel Ketores. This is referring to the Marocha Shnei Shel Ketores. Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi, Kiyam Eish Menolan, that according to Rabbi Yossi, that there was a third Marocha for Kiyam Eish, what, where do we know there was that marocha? Says the Gemara, Nafkale me'esh al-mizbeach tukadba. To teach us, there was a third marocha. Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that there was no third marocha, l'kim me'esh, what will he use that pasuk for? Says the Gemara, ha'hu le'atsosus alisa hudasa. He comes to teach us that they used to use splinters of wood to start the fire on the mizbeach. And like Rashi explains, that the pasuk is teaching us that splinters of wood should be used, and those splinters should be put on the mizbeach and burnt on the mizbeach. The Tanya, how do we know that the fire in the mizbeach is burnt by lighting these splinters? And it has to be done on the surface of the mizbeach. Rabbi Yossi says, as we just learned, how do we know there was a third marocha for kim eish? He says, tamalayim v'eish mizbeach tukaba. We learned that from eish mizbeach tukaba. Ask the Gemara, if Rabbi Yossi is using the pasuk of the eish mizbeach tukaba to teach us that there's a third marocha, hatsos el semenole, where would he know the halacha that the fire in the mizbeach was lit with these splinters? Answers the Gemara, nafkalei mehechad and nafkalei Rav Shimon. He learns it from the same place Rav Shimon learned it. Because the Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, v'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-koyin eish ha-mizbeach. Limeid comes to teach us al tzosis elsa, that the lighting of the splinters shleitei el b'koyin kosher, has to be with a kosher coin, a valid coin, or with klisharis, and klisharis must be used. Divrei Reb Yehuda. Amalei Reb Shimon. V'chisal al datcha. Does it make sense that I to think differently? Shezor kariv l'kav mizbeach. Should I think that someone who's not a kohen should be allowed to approach the mizbeach? That I need a pasuk to teach us? Ella, he teaches us latzosus elisa, that the lighting of the twigs shleitei ella b'roish shel mizbeach, that should be done with splinters on the mizbeach. Ask Rashi that according to Rav Shimon, that it's obvious that it has to be done by a kohen. Why does the pasuk have to identify that Aaron the kohen did this lighting? Explains Rashi that it's needed to teach us that although there was a fire that constantly burnt the mizbeach, one has to bring, as we know, that Allah says, you have to bring your own fire. Now, one would think that this fire could be brought by a non-kohen, who, even though he's not allowed to come to the mizbeach, we would think that he could maybe throw some sort of a burning wood towards the mizbeach, and therefore have the fire not from Shemayim accomplished, even though it wasn't brought by a kohen. That's why the pasuk tells us Aaron, the kohen, that teaches that only a kohen is allowed to be the person who places the extra fire on the mizbeach. So now what we see that Rav Shimon learned the din of Atzosus Elisa from V'nosnu b'nei Aaron HaKohen Eish al mizbeach, and that's what we're saying Rav Yossi will also learn from the din of Atzos Elisa. Rav Yehuda, on the other hand, said that we learned the din of Atzosus Elisa from Eish al mizbeach Tukaba. Ask the Gemara, why can't Rabbi Yehuda also learn, like Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, the din of Atzos Elisa from V'nosnu b'nei Aaron HaKohen Eish al mizbeach? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says to that, Imi Hasam, if I would only have that pasuk, Hava Mina, Koya Ara V'Avimapucha, that a Kohen, or a non-Kohen even, could stand on the ground, not next to the mizbeach, and use like a fan to fan the flames and make the fire. That's why Kamash Malon, that's not an acceptable way to make the fire on the mizbeach. Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon, however, explains the Rishonim, explain Reb Yoyakim, will not need a pasuk to teach us that, because they hold that is obviously not a respectable way to light the fire in the Mizbeach, and it's obvious that that's not acceptable, and I don't need a pasuk to teach me that it shouldn't be done. Remeyer, who had a fourth maracha, Faivarim ubedarim shleinus aklum min erev, that they weren't burnt from before night. Menalei, how do we have that? How do we know that they have a separate maracha? Nafkalei, he learns it from the word vaeish. The Torah uses the word vaeish, the extra vav, to teach us that has the fourth maracha. Rabbanan, Eivarim ubedarim shleinus aklum min erev my avad lahu. Rabbanan, vav leidarshi. They don't learn the word vav. They don't accept that extra vav is a reason to learn that there's an extra maracha. But I asked the Gemara of Rabbanon, Evarim b'dam shalenes achle ba'erev my avad lehu, what were done with them? Mahadilo maracha g'dayla. According to Rabbanon, we put back on the maracha g'dayla. Tanya, Menayin levarim b'dam shalenes achle ba'erev, if they weren't burnt up from before, shesoydim al gabim mizbeach, that we put them on the mizbeach, vim eim machzikam, if there is no room on the mizbeach, shesoydim al gabim kevis, that they were left on the ramp, or al gabes soiviv, on the ledge that was around the mizbeach, at shiyas merach gedoyla the soidrin, until the merach gedoyla is made and we put it there. Tamaloyma ashatoycha eish as oila mizbeach. That teach us that the extra varma bedorim are put on the merach gedoyla, because as the Rishonim explained, the pasuk is not teaching us about the oila itself, because we know obviously that the oila has to be burnt. It must be that the pasuk, according to them, is teaching us about the evarim bedarim are put on to the maracha gedoyla. And as Tosfos explains, we have to make sure that the evarim bedarim are left on the mizbeach, because if they will be removed from the mizbeach and they're not on the mizbeach, the halacha is that anything that's not on the mizbeach and is left overnight becomes pasul because of lina. Furthermore, explains Tosfos, there's an isser to remove karbonos from the mizbeach. So we had to have a place to keep them. And like Tosfos says, it has to be on the upper half of the mizbeach, because if they're on the lower half of the mizbeach, even if they're still on the mizbeach, but they're on the lower half, they will already become disqualified by lina. So that's why the Gemara explains we leave them on the Mizbeach, and if there's no room on the surface of Mizbeach, we put it on the Keves or on the Soiviv until we actually put it into the Maracha Gedoyla. Remeya, what will he do with this Pasuk? That he says that there was a separate Maracha for the Evarim Abedarim Shlonis Achlu. He's going to say the Pasuk teaches us Ikule Oila Atamachser, parts of the Oila that were somewhat consumed but are not completely burnt have to be returned to the Mizbeach, viata machsir ikulei k'tairis. But k'tairis, the coals that fly off the Mizbeach, even though they're not completely burnt, do not get returned. The Tanya of Chananya ben Yumi b'rei Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, asher toichla eish es oila Mizbeach, ikulei oila tamachsir, we have to return pieces of the carbon oila if they're not burnt to the Mizbeach, viata machsir ikulei k'tairis, we don't have to return pieces of the k'tairis that were not completely burnt to the Mizbeach. And the Zera of Ram explains, because by the oila, the din is that there's a din that the oila has to be burnt. And therefore, if parts of the oila were not completely burnt, and they fly off the Mizbeach, one must return them to the Mizbeach for burning. However, by K'tairis, explains the Zera of Ram, it's not that the Torah requires that the K'tairis be completely burnt. Rather, what the Torah requires is that the K'tairis give off a smoke, give off Mala Oshin. Once that smoke is given off, the voida of the K'tairis has been accomplished, and there is no reason to return the K'tulei K'tairis. Points out the Gemara, however, the Kula Almamias, all of the Tanoim that disagreed about how many Marachas we had on the Mizbeach, all agree that Masifim Bay Biyom Islahu. They agreed that on Yom Kippur we added a Maracha. Says the Gemara Manolu, from where do we know this? Answer the Gemara, Nafgulu Ma'esh. They learn it from the word Veho Esh. Vafilu, says the Gemara, Lamanda Omar, the Loi Dorishvav, even according to Rabbanon, who on Amen Aleph said we don't use an extra vav to teach us a drasha, vav hey, where we have an extra vav hey, Darshi, they do Darsha. So that's why we all agree the Veha Eish comes to teach us that an extra Merakah should be built for Yom Kippur, and Rabbeinu Yochim explains that even though this Pasuk is not talking about the Merakahs of Yom Kippur, it's talking about the Merakahs of every day, still, since this Vav Hei are extra letters, they're used to teach us that on Yom Kippur an extra Merakah is built, and that's a din that everybody agrees to.